On a lot of Sundays, there is a fundamental difference between what we are doing, worshiping in church, and what Jesus and the disciples are doing in the gospel passages we read. But that's not true today. On Palm Sunday, we do very much what Jesus and the disciples do. They act out a Bible story, and so do we. The passage from Zechariah 9 that they act out is one traditionally seen as a prophecy of the coming of the Messiah, and they act out all the pieces of it, all the symbols of it. They take Jesus and they put him on a donkey or a colt, and they throw palm branches down on the roadway before him. It's a tradition taken from their most popular public festival, the festival of Sukkot, which actually is a harvest festival taking place in the fall. But they recognize the Bible passage, and they just naturally do what they do at that festival, and they throw these palm branches down on the road before him, and they cry out, "Hosanna," meaning save us. "Hosanna to the Son of David." It's the prophecy from Zechariah of the return of a Davidic king, the son of David, who would be the anointed one, as kings and queens still are, anointed with oil in their coronation rite. He would be the king of Israel who would restore the unity of the kingdom to its period of greatest unity, as it was under King David and under Solomon. The northern kingdom and the southern kingdom, estranged for hundreds of years, would be reunited. And the Messiah would gather all the nations of the world to himself and would be a great political and military and spiritual leader. It's a prophecy that represents the deepest hope of a nation which had been under occupation, exile, division, and oppression for hundreds of years. And of course, that's really that same passage from we act out, they're acting out the story from the prophet Zechariah, and we act out, they're acting out. And there's a kind of a festival atmosphere about it, as we discover it when we go out and we're suddenly visible in public and we're holding up our palm crosses. And that's where Palm Sunday starts. Ends in a different place. The exuberance and hilarity and hosannas of the crowd on Palm Sunday turn into the jeering of the crowd on Good Friday. And that's important for this story. It's not really pleasant or fun, but it's part of the mechanism that drives this story, part of the dynamic of crowds and power that makes Good Friday possible. And this is something that Jesus understands profoundly, that what he does, he has to do in the sight of everyone, where it simply won't have the effect needed. And so Jesus and the disciples are acting out a Bible story. We do the same. We act out, they're acting out. But we don't have to do that. We could just make a mental note of what Jesus and the disciples did. We could just say, oh, yeah, they went through the streets and they acted out this passage from Zechariah. And isn't that interesting? And I could mention it in the weekly email or something, and that would be fine. But if we do that, we won't understand. The reason we do the acting out is that unless we get our imaginations, our hearts, our minds, and our bodies involved, we cannot see what the events of Holy Week have to tell us. Not so much about Jesus, but about ourselves as human beings. Unless we act it out, we cannot see it unless we go there. We cannot learn the gospel as a theory, or as an ideology, although the theory is wonderful. We must discover it in action, in our own bodies, in our own spirits, in our own hearts. There are lots of ways of saying what it is that Jesus wanted to reveal in the events of Holy Week and the cross. Preachers have worked hard through the centuries to try to put it across in so many different ways. Today I want to say it this way. The Gospels, especially John, tell us that we can live the resurrection life now, that we can live it, the resurrection life now. And deep down, this is what we are searching for, struggling for, a way through. But there is something extremely powerful that stands between us and the possibility of finding what Jesus called the little door, the way into this resurrection life. That powerful thing that stands in the way is our survival instinct. We are fighting for survival, fighting for life all the time, even when we don't need to. Sadly, we are often fighting not just in ourselves, but we are fighting each other. We do this in big ways, in small ways, in medium-sized ways. All the conflicts we have every day, trivial, small, though they may seem, are on a spiritual continuum. They're of the same spirit with all the big, serious, deadly conflicts in the world, in Syria and everywhere. So we are creating everywhere these fights to the death, which are actually about fighting for life. In Holy Week and on the cross and afterwards in resurrection, Jesus wants to break us open a bit, open our eyes, show us that we are gripped by an illusion. We believe these conflicts are necessary. They are not. We believe we have to fight. We do not. There is another way, but we cannot see it. We have eyes, but we are blind to this truth of Jesus. So strong is our survival instinct. We want to believe we don't have to go there. In Matthew's gospel, Jesus says it this way. Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the road is easy that leads to destruction, and there are many who take it. For the gate is narrow and the road is hard that leads to life, and there are few who find it. Finding this narrow gate is what Holy Week is all about. To be able even to see the little door of which Jesus speaks, the narrow gate, we have to go to the one very special place where that little door is even visible to us. But that place is one to which none of us would ever choose to go. And only if we choose to go will we see the little door when we get there. Only Jesus knows to go there. So we must choose to go with him. And that place is the cross. We must go there and be lifted up with him if we are to experience resurrection. There is no other way. Stay and continue fighting for a life which perishes in our defending of it. Or lay down our arms and our life and go with him to a life which is a true life, needs no defending, and gives life not just to ourselves, but to all eternally. So that is why we went out in the park to act out a Bible story today on Palm Sunday, so we can get to the place where we can see this truth, this narrow gate, this little door to eternal life. And we continue doing it all week for the same reason. So I urge you, I invite you, come with him. Walk in the steps of Jesus. Come with him and find the little door. But we need to go all the way. Be there on Maundy Thursday and receive the Eucharist, the sacrament of awakening. Die with him on the cross. Carry the cross. Be nailed to it on Good Friday. Rise with him in the new fire at sundown, the Easter Vigil on Holy Saturday. Sing the Alleluias on Easter Sunday. That way, when the time comes, we will have found the door, or done our best to find it, and can truly say these words as we celebrate the festival Eucharist of the Resurrection. They are the fraction sentence that we'll say together during Easter season every Sunday. We say them just at the end of the Eucharist as we are all about to receive communion. If we have died with him, we shall live with him. If we hold firm, we shall reign with him. Lord, we died with you on the cross. Now we are raised to new life. We were buried in your tomb. Now we share in your resurrection. Live in us, that we may live in you. When we have done all that, we'll be people of the resurrection. We'll be witnesses who can truly say we were there. We took the first steps in his invitation to take up our cross and follow him now in this risen life.